This program is presented by a community producer through Midland Community Television. The City of Midland and MCTV are not responsible for the content of the program. The views presented do not necessarily represent those of the City of Midland or MCTV. If you would like to produce your own program, contact MCTV at 837-3474 or access our website, cityofmidland.mi.gov/MCTV.
The following presentation of the Midland City Council will begin in a moment. The Midland City Council is the city's legislative body that sets policies, approves budgets, determines tax rates, and adopts ordinances and resolutions to govern the city. It is made up of 5 elected officials that represent the wards in which they reside, and councilmen are elected to 2-year terms. The mayor is elected from among the council members by vote of the city council. City council meetings are held at 7 p.m. 2 Mondays per month in council chambers at City Hall. This presentation is provided by the MCTV Network, a service of the City of Midland. Replays of this meeting can be found on MGTV Channel 188 on Charter Spectrum, through Channel 99 on AT&T U-verse, or on demand at www.cityofmidlandmi.gov. Select meetings are available on MCTV Network's Government Affairs podcast channel.
Good evening and welcome to our September 27th, 2021 meeting of City Council. This is the beginning of Neighboring Week, and we're very glad that you are here this evening, so thank you for joining us. Will you please now stand to join us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Erica, would you please call roll?
Honorable Mayor Donker?
Here.
Councilman Hall?
Here.
Councilman Wasbinski?
Here.
Councilman Aronofsky?
Here.
Councilman Braun Wilhelm?
Here.
All right. Thank you very much. Does anyone on council have a conflict of interest with anything that's on this evening's agenda?
I would like to pull from the consent.
Okay.
All right, now we'll get to the consent agenda. And so okay. For just a second, seeing there's no conflict of interest, all resolutions marked with an asterisk are considered to be routine and will be enacted by one motion. There'll be no separate consideration of these items unless a council member or citizen so requests during the discussion stage of the motion to adopt the consent agenda is indicated. If there's even a single request, the item will be removed from the consent agenda without further motion and considered in its listed sequence in regular fashion. Can we have a motion to accept the consent agenda?
So move.
Second.
Okay, a first and second. All right, that takes us to discussion. Pam, you?
Yeah, I wanted to pull it from consent and discuss because...
Discuss which item?
The item for, from talking about the... approval for the minutes of the regular city council meeting because it didn't include.
Okay, you want to approve? Okay,
right. It didn't include.
Okay, something. You want that pulled? Okay, we'll pull that. And Steve, I know that that's the same for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Does anyone from the public have an item that they would like pulled from the consent agenda? Okay, seeing none, then all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, that passes 5-0. Okay, so that takes us now down to item number 1, which is the approval of the minutes. And Pam, you had an item that you wanted, wanted that pulled?
Yeah, I wanted to pull it from the consent agenda so we could discuss. We had an excellent Michigan Municipal League Conference, mm-hmm. and I learned a lot, and there's some sustainability opportunities that I thought... we could go over discussing some of the things that were brought up at the last meeting that were kind of just breezed over. And that has to do with, jobs and tax dollars and the success that we've seen in Grand Rapids with what you know, we opted out of here in Midland. And so I had discussed this, you know, before when we were in Grand Rapids with all of you, that I thought revisiting Grand Rapids with an appointment to talk with the people that did, I know you went to different workshops, but did the workshop that I attended, so we could at least consider things that might be coming up again in the future. And I want to amend the minutes, I want to make a motion to amend the minutes because it didn't really include the fact that we talked about this, and it's going to be brought back in January, I believe.
Okay, so the topic we're talking about is
the cannabis.
Oh, it's cannabis. Okay. All right.
Can I ask a question?
Okay. Pardon?
Can I ask a question?
Well, that, okay.
Well, let's go and discuss it.
Yeah. Just because it wasn't really covered very well, as far as. It wasn't noted at all in the minutes, first of all. And then because it wasn't noted in the minutes, it looked like it didn't even happen. So people noticed that, and, you know, they had brought it to my attention, and I'm grateful that they did, because, yes, this is an opportune time to have it be noted and to be discussed in the future, because, again, I learned a lot just this last weekend, more than I had before, on how it's being successful in a city that I think we rather like to get some inspiration by. Grand Rapids is a beautiful city, and there are things that are happening there that's really exciting. Some of the things that we've done with our downtown, I think, has been inspired by Grand Rapids and so forth. And I think that if we look at this particular issue, along with the scooters and all the, you know, the little places to sit and beautiful flowers and the flames and all of the beautiful things they have and we are doing now to help draw people, to draw talent to Midland, to have it be a place that has opportunity for people with jobs. And again, that does bring in tax dollars that helps us be sustainable. One of the things that was brought up, the young lady that presented, was how, you know, was concerned about being hard on the city staff when you add these new businesses and also the water infrastructure, you know. And I would rather have her tell you how they're doing it, but they aren't putting any drain at all on their city. It's actually, you know, improving their.
Okay, Pam.
Okay.
So we're approving the minutes.
Okay.
So not having a discussion on the topic. But
okay.
It's
all right.
Just the minutes. So
okay.
Your concern with the issue on cannabis was.
Well, that it wasn't in mentioned in the minutes.
Okay, that it wasn't mentioned in the minutes. Okay.
Yeah, let me just comment. I'd also had an interest in pulling this off of the agenda, but Pam did, and it was just simply because we did discuss. I think Pam brought it up under the new business. Getting an update on the cannabis situation, and I think Mr. Branson was going to come back, or made a commitment to come back around the end of the year. And I thought just that fact that we had that discussion should be reflected in the minutes. And it was, you know, omitted. So I think it's just as straightforward as that.
So I still have a question.
Okay.
So we have several discussions under new business. And when we document the actions, I don't recall seeing all of our actions being put in the minutes. And it's not that I'm not going to support it, but what is our guideline
right
here?
So, if you'd Erica, like me to say
please,
some things.
Because I know that we've had this topic come up before about what is noted in the minutes or not, and there's only certain situations when it's actually noted in the minutes. So,
and I definitely understand the inclination to want to include things like this in the minutes, but the best practice that we're taught when I go to my conferences and for my certifications is that the minutes should tend away from being a transcript of what happened at a meeting and only record actual actions of city council, which would be decisions that you made together as the five of you, essentially a voted on motion. So even if it was under new business and not originally on the agenda, something where you did make a motion would automatically be included in those minutes. And the choice whether to include something or not is unrelated to the topic. It's only related to whether or not council acted together to make that decision. And that's what I've been taught is best practice, but they are the transcript of your meeting. So, I mean, that's the policy, and that's what I've seen from what I've started here, but...
And I believe our conversations when we've had this before is that we can, you know, then it does become a big transcript of a conversation that there's no action on, and what goes in, what doesn't go in, when do we do it, when do we not do it. So in the past, we have just always said that, you know, that's the best process, just to say if we don't make an action, and so maybe when, if there's something that there's a concern about moving forward, that you need to make an action, that maybe the action could have been that we're, you know, if we direct, we often direct staff and they come back with things, and that's just because we've had a conversation about it.
And if you ever did wish to formalize something into that, you could make a motion to make that get into the minutes if you directed staff to do something specific.
Right.
But
and I remember, you know, we did that when Steve did a report from the I don't know if it was the airport commission or the
EMS, maybe.
EMS, that we did write that into the minutes. But we have to specifically say that, that we have to do something to specifically note that it would be in the minutes.
Ms. Would you Hansen? Like me to make a motion to have that added to the minutes? Is that what you're asking?
You can, Mr. Branson. We did. I mean, the minutes are already the minutes.
Okay.
So
yeah, the minutes are, like Mr. Branson said, is a history of what actually was voted on at the meeting. And so even though this discussion happened, the council didn't make a decision regarding that topic. From my understanding, because I wasn't actually at that meeting, though we do have the full availability of that whole discussion is available online to be watched as a video, and you know, people can see it that way. But if there was a motion that evening, if council had made a decision on one of the different topics that you had discussed, then I would have included it in the minutes. If it was going to be included now, I would need direction from council on how to do that going forward, because it would be quite a change from the best practice and what the city has traditionally done.
Mr. Branson.
If I might add, I remember Councilman, very clearly Councilman Hall brought it up. It was discussed, and the direction from council was to bring back a comprehensive report either toward the end of the year or at the work session in January, and that's what will be done.
And then we would accept the report at that time. That's when we would have the discussion.
A discussion and a direction forward from the report. However, council wishes to go forward at that point, but the report will be brought back. I don't want the impression given, because it's not in the minutes, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
That is the furthest from direction to staff to bring back a report. And I don't anticipate it just being a receive and file report. It'll be active discussion on council's behalf on what the current law is and some options for council to consider where we are now and where council could go in the direction of the cannabis laws. And once I receive that direction to go forward, then we'll modify from that point. But at this point, it was certainly brought up, it was actively discussed, and it was a direction from council to move forward with the report. I have not seen those in the minutes before, and I support the idea minutes should be done for the reflection of council's votes based on motions and actions going forward, not on directions just towards staff. But again, I'll leave that to further discussion.
Well,
but
the summary is
it's not going to get lost because it's not in the minutes. It's certainly going to go forward.
Right.
And if it's not, then it's on me missing a direction or not following the direction of council, myself or city manager or anyone else, for not following a direction to bring something back to you.
Well, thank you, Jim. I just to be clear, my intention wasn't to try to get a vote on this tonight. It was just to have it appear in as something that was not in the minutes. So
I'll still leave that to council on the reflection of the minutes, but I just want to be sure that council understands that discussion is not lost, nor the presentation will be lost because it is or is not in there.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd like to maybe comment a little bit further. I think our minutes are pretty bare bones. I mean, they really are rehash of the agenda and the votes on the agenda items. And, you know, frankly, I've had other people comment they expect a lot more detail in the minutes than what's in there for members of the public. In this particular, I understand the past practice, and so to get to maybe a more robust detailed level of minutes, we'd have to have a further agreement amongst council. But in this particular case, I think simply a reference that the subject was brought up and the directive was given would be appropriate to reflect, even under our current rules, even though we didn't give a specific direction to put it in minutes, I think it would be consistent with our current practices, not that we put a lot of things in, but that this one sort of rose to the level of maybe at least having a reference that was brought up, a directive was given, and just roughly what that directive was would be appropriate to add to the minutes.
Then we need a motion to do that. Okay. I mean, because we have, the minutes are in there,
that's
as stated.
What, yeah, that's
so,
what I wondered.
If so like is, that. Am I, is that what we would need? We would,
yeah,
to
put
the minutes as written? Or
minutes,
we,
but like if we did make this change, it would be a change of practice. And I just wanted
to go ahead.
Yeah, I don't, we're not making any changes in our practice. That this would not make a change in practice. Go ahead.
What I would propose is this would be a one-time deal, and then for the future, if we want to have something attached to the minutes that we thought was very important or something like that, then we'd have to state it at that point in time. So this would probably do a correction on this. I'd feel comfortable with that, just saying, I'll make an amendment saying we want to just add this one point.
Right.
And then in the future, if we think it's important enough that we want other people to know what we did, especially on new business and stuff. Because there's a lot of times that we give direction to the city manager, the city attorney, and we just know what's going to happen. And then when we actually do the discussion, when it comes back to us, we've never had a time where we've given them a direction and they have not come back. And
right.
So
no, I think it becomes just easier to look at the minutes for a quick reference rather than have to scroll through the video every time to remember which meeting the directive was given. It's just an easier reference when you have something significant. Now, I know Pam and now I guess Marty, you guys have both referenced an amendment to this.
Yeah, but
minutes.
I think that's on us. If we want it in the minutes, then that's on us to ask us, to do that. Because otherwise, if there is not a motion, if there is not a vote with an action, then it's not going to be in the minutes. And to expect that, I think is, we've discussed this before. I don't think it's something we should do. So I think Marty's comment is that we would actually need to make, a motion at that time under new business to do that. So
I guess what I'll propose is let's make an amendment to the minutes stating that one fact, play catch up, or just
to reflect
everything out, but in the future that I don't want to change our protocol, but if we do in the future say we want this, specific item in the minutes.
If you could just clarify what the minutes would reflect, because I would still recommend against putting discussion in the minutes because there would be differences of opinion about what should be included.
With that,
it would only speak to the action.
Right.
So that there was a discussion regarding this topic.
If we want to have an action in the minutes, you actually got to put a motion out there, and then it's actually a vote.
So why don't I do, unless you want to, since you brought it up, but it would be that I make a motion that the minutes of the last meeting be amended to reflect under new business that a discussion regarding cannabis was brought up and a directive was made to the city attorney to provide a report back to council by
year end,
or whatever the deadline was a little unclear.
That makes sense.
We had talked about toward the year end of the year or at the work session, and that was going to be
by the end of January.
On or before the work session in January.
There you go.
Thank you.
So that's a motion.
There's your motion. It needs to be seconded.
Second.
Is that? Did Pam
second?
I second.
Thank you.
So, Madam Mayor, if I could just to clarify and to make sure I understand the motion, it would be to approve the minutes as amended to include that, correct?
Well, it's got an amendment. We approve
it.
There's no motion on the floor.
I just moved it.
I know, but you're moving to amend something that doesn't exist right now. That's why I'm asking for clarification on the motion. You didn't. There's no motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Okay.
But you can make a motion to approve the minutes as amended to include. So it would be one single motion.
Sure.
So I was just clarifying that you're comfortable with that.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that.
Thank you.
One motion.
One motion. Okay, and then Councilman Hall seconded.
Yes.
So Steve stated it the way.
Right. And I a second.
Okay.
All right.
Any discussion on that? And we're clear moving forward how we're all going to do this?
I put personally a lot of effort into this a few years ago when I had the town hall at the library to raise awareness of...
But we're not having a discussion. We're just talking about the motion itself.
All right. Okay.
Are we ready to vote?
Yeah.
All right, then those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. That passes 4-0. Okay, now that takes us to public comment. This is an opportunity for people to address council on issues that are relevant to council business but not on the agenda.
Yes.
You need to please come up, stand on the blue, and if you would address council, but first tell us your name and address, please.
I am John McComb. I'm at 5104 Nurmi Drive. And I got to say, I'm impressed with how accessible city officers and the council has been. As I've tried to explore the issue that I'm interested in, which is the condition of Sturgeon Creek. I've talked to Maureen and Steve, I've talked to Brad, I've talked to the city assessor, I've talked to the public service director, I've talked to wastewater manager and his assistant, a number of city officers. Everybody's made themselves very accessible as to me as a private citizen. I'd like to say thank you.
Excuse me, Mr. McComb. I think we're allowing you to drop your mask if it'd be easier for you to speak at the podium.
Yeah. My issue is the cleaning of Sturgeon Creek, removing the down trees, blockages, and the challenge the, and I'm then challenging the planners to treat this as a navigable stream as a community resource, because at this point, my observation as a property owner along there is that it's virtually ignored and represents a hazard for future flooding. It is a navigable stream, and it's doubtful at its original course. Nobody knows that because it is a stream and it meanders along. I think most of the property owners along it think they live next to a park. That is apparently only true as a platted park. It is not managed or controlled by the park's people, although they're the people with the equipment, with the chainsaws and the loaders and whatever to do something about it. In the past, apparently, it has been the wastewater people who addressed the problems, and that's due to the number of places where there's effluent from the storm sewers that enter Sturgeon Creek. And I want to strongly indicate that the former wastewater manager did commit to this year cleaning up the creek. And of course, he's gone now, and we're into the controversy of how do we address this problem that partly occurred delay and partly occurred from the flood. It goes back to 1986, where properties were split or were put back together that were formally split after the 86 flood. So last year, the former wastewater director had sought quotes to as I understand it, cut a 20-foot swath on either side of the creek and clean out what was there. I don't think anybody wants that. And to me, that's just going to increase the erosion and partially destroy what is a community resource, a usable stream where people can canoe and kayak and use as a water course. So I'd be disappointed if that happened. I guess... in my discussions with Brad, that perhaps the approval seeking an RFP to do that may be coming before you. I hope also you will address, or you will direct them to seek possible other ways of handling it, nothing more than cleaning up the dead trees along the bank and cleaning up the creek itself so that it flows and you can be used. In the meantime, I've talked to a number of officers. I haven't talked to some of you before, But I'd invite you to come over to my place. I'll buy you a cup of coffee. You can go down and look for yourself at the problem, and maybe if we all work together, we can come up with a solution for it. But certainly, to me, this represents a flood potential, and I think it needs to be addressed in the near term rather than somewhere out there in the future. So thank you for listening to me tonight, and we'll probably be talking again.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much. Is there any other public comment this evening?
Certainly.
Okay, I just need to make a statement here. I should have made it before Mr. McComb came up, and that is this is public comment. It's not a back-and-forth conversation. This is our opportunity to listen to what the public has to say. So with that.
Yeah, John Elson, 6106 Sturgeon Creek Parkway. I understand where he's coming from since I live on Sturgeon Creek myself. Basically, I think all corporations and all governments believe in one thing that overrides everything else, and that's health, safety, security, and the environment. I think that's the bylaws of probably every company, that's the first priority. I've been talking about storm sewers, sanitary sewers, the roads, and flooding, overland flooding in our community for quite a bit now, probably, and the lack of what I think is lack of planning. And I've had two sessions on just planning itself. So, speaking of that, a friend of mine came over. We were shooting the breeze. We started talking about what's going on, and we got around to the government, the city government, because he knows I come to these things. He says, why do you waste your time coming to these? They just do what they want to do anyway, which is kind of a, you know, you think about that statement, and I probably had 100 people tell me the same thing. I think we have general apathy from a lot of our citizens that don't think what they want or what they think is important isn't important to the city council or the city government. And I think that should change. I don't know how you change it, but it needs to be more inclusive to the whole community. And I don't know how you change what's gone on over in the past to what's happening now. So anyways, I gave him an outline of what I was going to talk about this time. And he looked at it, and he's, because it had things like the road diet, which I think no one really wanted. I think, or very few people, I should, the minority wanted it. The majority probably didn't want it. The extension of Sugnut, the mysteries of the rebuilding of Sturgeon Avenue and Wheeler Road, which really was, to me, was all about water lines, not anything to do with road reconstruction. And of course now there's this thing we're going to be doing on Saginaw Road. He says he agreed with me and most of the people I've talked to, because I go to Washington Woods. I'm part of the Cribbage Club. I can tell you most of the people from Washington Woods I talked to were not in favor of anything going on the Saginaw Road. So anyways, so he says, well, let me look at your outline. And I said, okay. He looked at my outline and says, why don't you just talk about one thing? And I said, okay, what is that? He says, talk about global warming, climate change. Okay, I think that was a good idea, because a lot of things are going on with climate change are now affecting us in the city. There's a lot of people that think it's a natural process. It happens all the time. And they'd be exactly right. I mean, does anybody know between 1350 and 1850, that time period was considered a mini ice age? I don't know if you know that or not. But now we're in a different period. It's getting warmer all the time. Now, this is also being exacerbated by greenhouse gases, CO2. Human activity. So that these people are right too. But it doesn't really matter. It's happening. It's getting warmer out, whether it's natural or it's man-made or a combination of both. I happen to think it's a combination of both. So what does that mean to us? Well, I think what it means is when it gets warmer, we're going to have more flooding. We're going to have more drought. The flooding we do get is going to be bigger. Why? Because the atmosphere is warmer. The atmosphere that's warmer can hold more water. So when it does rain, there's going to be much more water coming out of the sky. Trying to go through 100-year flood events, because I don't even know if we've taken data for even 150 years of how much rainfall we've gotten every day, this situation We've seen it over the last 35 years. It's getting more and more frequent flood events, and we're getting more and more rain, and we're getting to try to put it down the same streams. On top of that, maybe 100 years ago, Midland was a lot smaller place. There wasn't much development outside the city limits, and the city limits were a lot further in than they are now. But now we've developed all this property. We have urbanization going on. All that water goes into the Sturgeon Creek and has to be picked up by all the storm drains. And now we have to deal with all this extra water going into Sturgeon Creek, Inman Drain, all the other waterways that go through Midland. So this is all part of climate change. These things have to be addressed. And I don't really know what the city's actually done about anything to do with flooding overland. This gentleman just talked about cleaning out Sturgeon Creek. That would help to maybe some extent. But if you keep building like I've seen, you're building these condos out on Sturgeon Road. I've seen they brought in probably 100 dump truck loads of sand to build that property level up to a certain level, which is now really above Sturgeon Avenue itself, to build more condos so more water can go into Sturgeon Creek from all these extra developments. I've seen you never talk about stopping a development because you're worried about flooding. Can you think about one? I can't think of one. I hear you're going to spend $50 million of our money to fix sewer systems because they were not planned properly in the past. And what I'd say about that, you're right. This has been going on for years and years. We haven't really done anything to really fix the problem beforehand. We've never been proactive. We've been reactive to all these situations. And I think we need to start to be a little bit more proactive, think of the future, rather than try to clear up the messes at the end. Because the $50 million that we're going to spend is from all this uncontrolled development we've done in the past, and we're going to continue to do this if we don't stop. And I don't think this city council, this city government, has been any better, maybe worse than other city governments in the past when it comes to things like flooding. So I want to say that I hope that all these talks about planning, all these talks about overland flooding, all these talks about sewer systems, I hope you actually address these one of these days. Not just the sewer systems, all the kinds of systems that we're dealing with. Storm sewers, flooding. And I'd like you to think about that, because it's not going to get any better unless we sit down and actually do it. I'd like to see this city council be the brave city council, the brave city government, where we actually do something rather than just talk and stop spending our money on what I call frivolous projects like road diets. Thank you. Bye. See you next week.
Okay. We have one more public comment.
Clinton McLean, 4055.
If you want to, you can take your mask off.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Let's give some guidance. Oh, 4055 South Saginaw. So I was given some advice prior to this meeting, so I thought I would make my statement here, so you guys can move on with the evening and get be done. City Council members, Madam Mayor, thank you for your opportunity. I've got a concern related specifically to item on your agenda, item 11C. So I thought I would voice a concern and let you guys handle your business and move on accordingly. It's just a concern at this point. My position here is to ensure that the community ensures the highest value for the money spent on any project. This, for everybody, is not on 11C. It's relating to the Tridge. There's a civil works project related to that. So I work for Jerace Construction. Jerace Construction has a long history of working in Midland, probably 60 plus years. And we had the privilege to work on the initial construction of the Tridge. So it's a project that's very near and dear to us. During the proposal process of item 11 in general, which is the recoding and some upgrade civil, I guess, maintenance work to the Tridge, we noticed that there were no local contractors who bid on the project. And now there's a recommendation to the council today to direct award to the one recipient, or I guess the one respondent to this proposal. So my concern is that the city is issuing work with inadequate response. Are we rushing to issue a project because we want it done, or should we do a little more due diligence to ensure that the city is getting the value from the project? Not for going who the contractor is or Geraci's position in it, but my concern is specifically related to awarding work to one respondent when there's not enough information to justify value of the project. That's solely my position on this and my concern. We did contact City Council once we learned that there were a low number of respondents and said, hey, Geraci is intimately familiar with this project. Do you need another number to bounce it off to validate where you're at so we can show that the project that we have is truly of value, or maybe it's in excess of some kind. We're not sure. We didn't get permission or authorization to respond to the bid because we did not attend a mandatory site walk. So we chose not to respond with a number just to provide a sounding number. So again, my concern rests solely on projects with insufficient competition. And it's really the nature of my concern is awarding work when there's only one respondent. Should it go back out for bid? Should council take another look at it? And that's up to you guys to decide. I'm just making a recommendation that additional due diligence goes into these projects so that we do receive value. We're not rushing to issue work out. So that's my position. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Did you say you reached out to council?
To the city.
To the city
representatives.
Okay.
So
okay.
Not to council.
Okay. Just
so if I did say that, I apologize. So.
Okay. Just checking.
You guys have been fantastic. So this is just through the process, and there's a lot of people in the position. So.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you very much.
Have a good evening.
All right. Any other public comment? All right. Seeing none, we'll move on to item number 2, which has to do with Center City pilot, Center City Loft pilot. Mr. Marshall is here to lead us in that conversation.
Yes. And good evening, Madam Mayor and members of council. Tonight is the second reading on the amended pilot ordinance, which is the request of Spire Development for a payment in lieu of taxes at 2710 and 2712 Jefferson Avenue. Just as a means for refresher, this is the 55-unit mixed income between 30 and 70% AMI housing development, which would be paying to the city a 9% pilot rate at a 20-year term. Just as a matter of location, this is south of the Circle, south of the post office with frontage onto Jefferson Avenue and just north of Dartmouth Drive. Just off southwest of the Center City area in the city. And effectively what's being proposed and given second reading this evening is the changes that resulted as part of a review by MSHTA. This is something that was passed back to us with some changes that they had requested, MSHTA being the state's housing and development authority. And that included, as talked about during the last meeting, the name of the developer, the legal description, and then the percentage of units versus the planned number of units, which was changing it from 55 units to simply 100 units, which is 100% of those total units. So with all proposed changes to our code of ordinances, we do have to go through a two-step process. The first reading was held back on September 13th. Tonight is the second reading. Just to recall, this was given first approval back in January. This is the development that went through the tax credit approval process and did not receive that and would like to apply again on October 1st. Madam Mayor, I do have Sean with Spire Development in attendance this evening if there are specific questions of the developer, but if there's any specific questions of staff, I would be certain to entertain those right now.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Marshall?
Yes, Grant, I've got one question. My understanding is that the change in the ordinance does not change the amount of the tax credit or the maximum term that we agreed to earlier for this particular development. So it doesn't create any greater benefit than was already agreed to. I just want to make sure I understand that.
That is absolutely correct.
Okay, that's the only question I have.
Okay. Does anyone on council have any questions for the developer at all? I see he's here. Okay. Very good, thank you. All right, any comments from the public? All right, seeing none, then Erica, would you please read the resolution?
This resolution will give second reading and approval of an ordinance to amend Chapter 2 of Article 13 of the City Code of Ordinances to provide an amended pilot on property at 2710 and 2712 Jefferson Avenue for a development to be known as Center City Lofts.
Okay, can we have a motion to accept the resolution?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we have a first and second. Any discussion on this?
Center City has been waiting a long time to get a facelift, and I think this is going to be good for Center City.
Yep, anything else? All right, then, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, that was passed 5-0. All right, that takes us now down to item number 11, which has to do with the Tridge, and Karen Murphy is here to tell us about that.
All right, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Karen, if you do your introduction, do we have three separate votes?
We do. We have three resolutions.
Three resolutions, all right, yes. And one presentation.
Correct.
All right.
So back in the spring of 2021, we did an evaluation of the Tridge. If you recall, we did some major renovations in 2017. We put a coating on the Tridge that requires maintenance applications to keep it looking fresh every 3 to 5 years. So we brought the rep in to look at the Tridge, and they recommended that we do three different things at this point to keep the up on the major maintenance. One is to power wash the entire structure. Here's a picture of our staff doing some intermittent power washing to keep things clean, you know, in between our major maintenance events. The handrails need to be restained, and then the metal components that are above the deck level need to be repainted. So the city advertised and sought competitive bids in June of 2021. The bid was posted on the city's website and ran through the MITN process that we use for purchasing. We did have three bidders attend our pre-bid meeting, and two of them asked a lot of questions of us, and so we were surprised when we received only one bid, but that's the way our process came out. And the sole bidder was J.R. Heineman and Sons of Saginaw, Michigan at $174,500. J.R. Heineman is the company that did the major renovation for us as our general contractor in 2017. They have intimate knowledge of the Tridge. Several of their employees worked on the initial construction of the Tridge as well, so we were very confident that they will provide a good product to us. Unfortunately, the Tridge Endowed Maintenance Fund at the Midland Area Community Foundation did not have enough spendable funds at this time to cover that expense. Typically, work like this, we would go, the city would have it done, we would request funds from that Endowed Maintenance Fund, and that would cover the cost, but we only had about $100,000 in spendable for a $175,000 project. So the city talked to the Roland M. Gerstacker Foundation. They have a very long history of supporting the Tridge. They were the original funders for the construction of the Tridge in the early 80s. And they recommended that we submit a grant to them for their fall cycle. And they approved a grant for us on September 10th for the full amount of the project, $174,500. So our traditional route when we receive a grant is we would come to council and accept the grant and thank the foundation for their generous support of our project. And then we would amend the budget, because this is unanticipated revenue. In order to spend it, we have to come to council, set a public hearing, and then hold the public hearing at the subsequent council meeting to talk about amending the budget so we can administratively get those funds into the revenue and the expense side of the budget. And then after that, we would award contract for the work. In this particular situation, we went out to bids, we received them in June. We were ready to move forward with the project to have it done before the end of this construction season, and we didn't have the funds for it. So when the Gerstacker Foundation said, we would love to consider this request, however, we can't consider it till the middle of September when our board meets again, we kind of put the brakes on the project, and we waited to hear whether or not we'd get the grant. And as you know, we're very fortunate to have received full funding for the project. We want to get the work completed this year before the temperatures drop too much for the stain and paint products to be applied. So we're asking something that's a little out of the ordinary here. If we waited until October 11th when the budget could be formally amended, we would miss, you know, 2.5 weeks of prime time weather to get this work done. So what we're requesting is approval of the bid now with administrative override of the budget while we go through that formal process. So the city has the check in hand from the Gerstacker Foundation. We have the funds probably on Dave Keenan's desk right now. So the funding is secured. All that needs to happen is the administrative process to get it in the budget. So what we're asking this evening then through three different resolutions would be: the first resolution would accept the donation from the Roland M. Gerstecker Foundation for the full amount of the project. The second resolution would set that public hearing to administratively amend the budget on October 11th so that the donation gets put into the revenue account and the proper expense account. And then the third resolution would authorize a purchase order this evening to J.R. Heinemann, and they are prepared to start work yet this week if council approves of this process.
Great. Does anyone have any questions for Karen?
I have one. Based on the public comment in your presentation, how are the pre-bidders identified and invited to your meetings?
They weren't invited, per se. The city, for the past, I want to say at least 5 years, the city has used MITN, is a Michigan Intergovernmental Network, for posting bids. So when I have a bid that I want to go out, I send it to our accounting manager, who's also our purchasing agent. She posts the bid on the MITN website, and then on the city website, there's a little link that says available bids. And so there's also information on our website that says if you're interested in receiving information about city bids, here's the steps you have to take to go into MITN and register as a vendor, and then you can request that the city, that you get notified for city bids as they come out. So like you say, we've done this process for at least 5 years, Brad, I'm thinking. So we don't send invitations to bidders anymore. We just go through that MITN process. So when we had the pre-bid, for example, we had a company from down in the Metro Detroit area come up and look at the project. So it gives us it casts a much wider net in hopes that maybe we'll get better pricing or more interest. So they weren't specifically invited. They saw it. They went on MITN, they saw it, they clicked on the bid invitation, and they got the information, they attended that pre-bid meeting, and then they had a couple weeks after the pre-bid meeting to turn in their bid. So this is our standard process that we follow.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Karen, could you maybe speak to the sense of urgency of doing it in the fall versus waiting to the spring?
We have the bid price locked in if we do it this fall, and we've been wanting to do this work with that particular product, the stain product. You kind of have a window. The coatings rep told us it's called Sitkins is the name of the product, and it's an oil-based wood-penetrating stain. And they said you don't want to put it on too early, but you don't want to wait too long. There's like a prime window. And so we've had the rep come and evaluate the tridge twice now for us. And this spring they said, yep, it's time. You need to get the bid. You need to get it done. And so just in the interest of getting it done in the time frame that they recommend, we were hoping actually to have done them like July, August time frame, but we didn't have the funding to support it then.
Because I know that when we accept only one bidder, it's usually some sort of emergency piece of equipment. Something's broken down. We don't have really time to go out and seek a number of bids. Here, you know, I think you even expressed that we were kind of surprised we only had one bid. And I know sometimes with the engineering department, they'll come back with what they estimate the cost to be. Have we done anything in this case to try and guess what a good bid would be for this particular project?
We anticipated, we had talked about like power washing component and the restaining and the painting, and we had looked at all those components in the past. We were thinking we'd come in around $180,000, so we were happy to come in at $174,500, and then once we looked at the Tridge Endowed Maintenance Fund and realized we didn't have the money, we were like, eh. And that's when we went to the Gerstecker Foundation. And another piece of info, the Gerstecker Foundation contacted us last summer, so like in August of 2020, and they said, you know, we were walking the Tridge and the handrails are looking a little rough and we really would like you to look into seeing whether they need to be redone or not. And so that's what triggered the process for us to bring in the consult or the coatings rep again, take a look at it. So the Gerstecker Foundation is really interested in us getting this done too. They want to keep the Tridge looking nice because they've got a lot of money invested in it.
Okay. But as far as the project is concerned, even though we had one bid, it's in line with expectations.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We can take advantage of a quick getting to work, if you will.
Right.
To use this window.
Right. And we have accepted. I've accepted or proposed bids personally to you where we've only gotten one response from vendors. we follow the public process, we advertise it, we follow, you know, sometimes we may get five bids, sometimes we get one, but we still follow that public competitive bid process.
And then maybe last question, you know, again, the public comment was made, you know, about Midland vendors, and obviously I think I support it when, the, you know, they have the qualifications. Maybe not, maybe it's too late in this case, because it sounds like things are lined up pretty well, at least in my mind, to go forward, but do we think we should reach out maybe to remind local Midland contractors to monitor this, you know, Mitten or whatever the system is, or the other things we post on the website, so they don't miss out on opportunities to do work in our own hometown?
And I would say that this is the process we use for bidding out all of our work, and other local vendors seem to be aware of that.
Okay.
It's a process, like I said, we followed it for at least 5 years. So if you go to the city's website and it says, are you interested in bidding? There's a link you click on for the steps on how to get those notifications. So it's there on our public page. It's very easy to find and to sign up for.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So the key
the other
is...
point, if I may, sorry, just to add to that, is for the last 5 years, we've actually been encouraging them to go to that to register so they do get the advance notice. So the majority, if not all of them, will already be on that system.
And I believe when we first switched to that system, we did send out notifications to all of our vendor lists that we had. We said, hey, we're switching our process. This is how you do it. And, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. I personally think that, you know, it's a two-sided thing that vendors have, we have a responsibility, and vendors have a responsibility too. So I'm glad to hear that, you know, we did reach out to them, and I think that's important. I see that the newspaper is here tonight. Maybe they can make a note of that as a reminder that people might see that, that would be, you know, that's the process that we use, and we, you know, our responsibility is to get, you know, some kind of competitive bid. And so I'm, you know, I feel pretty confident that, you know, in this case that, you know, we're, you know, attempts certainly trying to do that. So
the only other question I had is, how long is the bidding process open?
Each bid is different. It depends on the complexity of the project. In this case, we wanted to have a pre-bid, so I believe when we send out a bid notice, the city allows like a week and a half to 2 weeks before they have the pre-bid meeting, so that vendors have time to get it on their calendars. And then if we require a mandatory pre-bid, like we did in this case, because the work was a little bit technical, and if you weren't familiar with the Tridge, you might not be bidding apples to apples with folks. So we had the mandatory pre-bid, and then typically we allow at least a week and a half or 2 weeks after that pre-bid for the folks that attended to pull together their numbers. So it's probably like
a month.
3 to 4 or 5 week process, depending. And then at a pre-bid, if we have something that we need to amend on the bid, then it extends the deadline even longer. So it is a pretty lengthy process.
So ample time.
Ample time for the vendors to get good numbers to us. Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions for Ms. Murphy? Okay. Thank you very much. Are there any comments from the public? All right. Seeing none, then Erica will go down the list. Would you please read the first resolution?
This first resolution accepts a donation from the Roland M. Gerstacker Foundation in the amount of $174,500 for painting and staining components of the Tridge.
Can we have a motion to accept that resolution?
So moved.
Okay.
Second, Pam Hall.
So Steve and Pam Hall. Okay, any discussion on this?
Just again, a heartfelt thanks for the foundations that we have here and everything. Midland wouldn't be the place it is if it wasn't for these foundations. So.
Well, that is true, and I appreciate, especially on this, is that, you know, certainly they led that project, and that's an important project, foofy as it may be. It's a very important part of our community, and the fact that they continue to fund that, I think it states, you know, how committed they are to that, so
agree.
I'm grateful for that. All right, then, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, that passes 5-0. Now that takes us down to item B, or number B. Would you please read that resolution?
This resolution would set a public hearing to amend fiscal year 2021 to 2022 general fund budget to properly account for the previous donation.
All right, can we have a motion to accept that resolution?
So moved.
Second.
Yeah, first and second. Any discussion on that? All right, then, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, that passes 5-0. Now that takes us down to item number C, which is, will you please read that?
This resolution is to authorize a purchase order to J.R. Heineman and Sons, Incorporated of Saginaw, Michigan, in the amount of $174,500 to allow the work to commence at the trench.
Okay, can we have a motion to accept that resolution?
So moved.
Nope. Second.
Okay, Steve and then Marty. Any discussion on that?
It sounds like Karen did her homework real good, as usual.
Right.
She was well prepared.
Thank you. All right, are you ready to vote? All right, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, that passes 5-0. Okay, that takes us down to new business. Mr. K, do you have any new business?
Nothing new, Madam Mayor, but just a short announcement, a reminder, if anything, one of the public comments tonight was speaking about Sturgeon Creek and the clearing of that creek, and we are anticipating having the Drain Commissioner in as well as wastewater staff to talk about creeks and clearances in that area. So next meeting we'll have a talk on that.
Right. Yeah, and I just wanted to comment that I did attend the opening the ribbon cutting for Green Hills, and you know, mm-hmm. I think we all remember that the fire there that occurred in 17, and so it's taken certainly a while for them to open up again, and they serve some of our poorest residents and are really a very important part of our community. And in the conversation with them, I just wanted to make note that they really commented on how city staff had worked with them, especially Tony Lilo, who in the fire department, and Steve Taglauer, who's in our building department, and what a wonderful job that they had done with them and how it really helped them with the project and how grateful they were. And I think sometimes we get complaints about our staff, and it's, you know, and everyone's doing the best they can to do their job. And so it was, you know, they specifically mentioned those names, which was, you know, awesome to hear that. So I think that's great.
Thank you for bringing that up. I received an invitation, was unable to attend, but I appreciate that you brought that up because it was something I had wanted to go to.
It was a nice event. All right, any other business that we have this evening? All right then, for adjourn, when we will be back together on October 11th.
This program is presented by a community producer through Midland Community Television. The City of Midland and MCTV are not responsible for the content of the program. The views presented do not necessarily represent those of the City of Midland or MCTV. If you would like to produce your own program, contact MCTV at 837-3474 or access our website, cityofmidlandmi.gov/MCTV. We hope you enjoy the following presentation.